Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee A to chimpanzee Z. I'm joined, as always, by the official second banana of the show. He's the host of the gaming show, which is called Gaming, Gaming, Game, Game, Gaming, Gameroo.
Gamey, game.
Please welcome Evan Munro-Smith.
Hey. Hey.
We don't normally do that because, I mean, there's only me here so far, so who am I talking to? Please welcome him, me. Anyway, thanks for being here, Evan. And Evan, you know this week we're joined on the show,
yes,
in the Monkey House, by podcasters, and I asked them what they wanted to be called, and they said, Best Boys. Okay. So please welcome podcasters and Best Boys, Jackson Bailey and Adam Carnevale.
Thank you so much.
I distinctly remember asking for Instagram influencer, actually. Thank you very much.
Instagram hashtag.
The way I podcast is I start a sentence, and then me and everyone else around is surprised how it ends. Usually it's sort of mundane, so no one's going, oh, he just came up with some bullshit there.
Best Boys was so on the money,
It's
though.
A winning system. Okay. Yeah. Clearly. Best Boys is way better than Instagram influencers. I don't know why I raised the issue.
You can be both.
That's true.
I know which one I'd rather be.
Well, it's so good to have you in here. This is coming out on Halloween Day.
Spooky.
Yeah.
Wow. Read that before you go. Read that. Listen to this before you go trick or treating. No, transcribe it.
Please.
Transcribe it the day previous. Yep. Read it in your deck chair on the lawn. Then go trick or treating.
Oh, that's cool. Are you a trick or treater?
I don't think I've ever actually tricked or treated in my life.
No, really? Neither.
Yeah, I've never done it. Have you?
Really?
Or the way he's...
Yeah, that's...
The way he's saying,
no,
really,
never. I've never. Either, no, I did when I was a kid.
Really?
Really? Yeah,
the roles.
I lived in the suburbs.
I lived in the country. The suburbs as well, though, and I've never experienced trick-or-treating.
What would you dress as?
I know that's like childhood is quite a big period of time.
I don't actually remember. It would have been pretty lazy costumes, like just a bedsheet ghost or... No, it wasn't Weird Al Yankovic. No, I actually can't remember... any costumes that we did. But I just remember walking around. We went around. Maybe we were just walking around.
Not actually trick-or-treating.
We were always just disappointed because so few houses that we knocked on the doors of were participating.
Right. I have to assume that's an issue of in trick-or-treating in Australia because so few people participate.
Like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah, my dad. Yeah, this being so long ago as well. I think it's become more of a thing.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
I think now there's some sort of a system like people will put up decorations.
Yeah.
Well, I've moved to a suburb that I think is definitely going to be trick-or-treating. So this Halloween, I'm definitely putting something out.
Transylvania, right?
Yeah. The Melbourne suburb of Transylvania.
Quite a commute.
I was going to be like little Dracula. That doesn't make sense. My dad always tells the story about when he was a kid, he lived in the Philippines for 2 years and there's like an American influence there. So they did a lot of trick-or-treating. And then he moved back to Australia. younger, but he would have been like 10. So this was like decades ago. And him and his sisters dressed up and they went out and every single house, like nobody knew. Right. So they would knock and be like, I'm here. And the like Aussie bloke, that he'd be like, what? What do you want? And they'd be like,
hello, what?
Lollies? And they'd be like, okay. And then they'd have to go and find like biscuits and be like, there you go, I guess.
Yep. Oh, that's nice that they did it though.
Yeah, well, I guess yeah. kids turn up and you're...
Yeah, it would be wild to be like, fuck off, idiots. Yeah. You look stupid.
Why, you're dressed like a Dracula. Get out.
Yeah. We did get angry people.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Is it, there is also there is a big chunk of Australia who dislikes Halloween because it's like it's coming over and taking our culture.
Yeah.
You know, it's our
American thing.
Taking our holidays.
Yeah. Finally, October 31st was just nothing. We just stayed at home. That's what I'd prefer.
It's a weird
it's
idea.
It's such like a strange hill to die.
Look, if it's not the grand final parade, yeah, exactly. then I don't call it culture.
It doesn't hurt anyone. It's not like it's even a religious celebration. It's just like, I don't want kids dressing up, having a good time, eating candy. Makes me sick.
Yeah. We don't like all this commercialism now. Yeah. Can't wait for Christmas.
Can't wait for any Father's Day, Mother's Day. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, we got them anyway. I think we've wrapped that up pretty nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cop that, Australia. The only one I really celebrated was when I was in America and I was in New Orleans and it was just,
that rolls.
It was wild. It was just street parties everywhere, and I didn't have a costume, but my friend he was dressing up as a golfer.
Yeah.
And he had a caddy. He had a caddy outfit spare.
Oh, that's
so I went
good.
As his caddy.
That's so good. For a brief second, I thought you were going to say that you went as, what do you keep the golf clubs in?
The bag.
Yes, you went as the bag.
What's that thing? You put other things in it?
I don't know, but it had a special name. A special golf name.
But it was like a big white jumpsuit that they wear in the US Masters.
That's great.
I got away with it. I'm like, but this isn't really Halloween-y. And then someone had some red sort
dye.
And I'm like, great. I'll be like a zombie golf caddy. And I put it on my face. It just looks like I'm sunburned.
Yeah.
Which can happen if you play golf without
That's
a hat.
That's true. That's true.
Or caddy.
Zombie caddy and his regular golf run.
Well, you could do a running away pantomime. You're meant to bring me my clubs, not eat me.
What a nightmare. Oh, and the eating part as well. I'm just like, imagine having a caddy. It won't even give you your clubs.
Man.
The worst.
We got dressed up for this episode of Gamey Game. We did the Halloween episode. It's on now.
Oh, right.
Check it out.
Well, and it was called Gaming.
It's Gamey Game. I just looked at your script that you put in front of you, and it's correct. Gamey, Gamey, Game. You can just read what's in front of you.
It's funny that I've got all these words written down, and I look at the screen.
Yeah,
you
get a
vague idea.
But
most of the words, that Best Boy isn't written there.
Yeah. I think we've already established that your sentences begin normally, but then the ending is a beautiful surprise. Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Did you know this? Evan's favorite primate is the human, in particular Andy from Toy Story.
Sure.
Were you aware of that?
What?
Oh, you were,
I know. I'm old.
What?
Yeah. Adam, you ask a very good question. Now, but leave that to one side. We're trying to convince Evan that he's made a bad choice. Do you have any primates, non-human primates, that maybe might usurp his love of Andy from Toy Story?
Have you ever seen a gorilla or a chimp or anything like that that has itself a pet?
Oh, no. That is good.
Like Coco the gorilla?
Yeah, Coco had kittens.
I was learning about Coco the gorilla. You want some crazy Coco the gorilla news?
Sure.
It was all fake.
What?
Coco's not real. There was Coco the gorilla is a sham.
Wait.
It was like that horse that whatever his name was, Mr. Something, the horse that
Mr. Ed.
No. There was
Mr.
like
Hands?
No, not Mr. Hands. There was a famous horse that everybody back in the day was like, this horse can do math, but actually the horse could just recognize the facial expressions.
It stomps its feet.
Yeah.
Right.
So Coco the gorilla could only be interpreted by one guy.
Oh.
And that one guy was just
Robin
making up what, he was just making up whatever he wanted.
Wait,
and also, that guy got in massive trouble because he was using Coco the gorilla to sexually harass members of his staff. What he would do is he would be like, Coco wants to see nipples. And so they would have to... I learned all this last night. It's crazy.
Wait, who'd you learn this from? A guy walking down the street or something?
Hey, you want to learn about Coco? No, I saw it. It was in a... it was just like a news article about the sexual harassment claims from like 2005.
Who falls for that?
I don't know.
Clearly many people.
Yeah.
Don't victim blame Evan.
Coco the gorilla was a sham. Anyway, that's just something I learned about Coco the gorilla recently.
We did a whole episode about Coco. I spent a week reading about it, watching documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
All of that was fake.
Apparently.
They filmed the whole way through its life.
Yeah, well,
for decades.
Apparently Coco the gorilla was all a big lie.
Wow.
I may be wrong. I don't, that's possible. But that's I was reading this news article about
classic Jackson. Classic Jackson addendum to anything.
I'm looking it up.
I might be wrong.
I got to save myself. Anyway, you keep describing apes with pets.
I just want, to double check this, can I ask you, where do you stand on steel beams and jet fuel?
That's not an important conspiracy. The Coco, the gorillas, that's important.
So Coco had a pet?
Yeah, well,
who
knows?
No, this is definitely true. Coco had a little kitten, and obviously this part, well, not obviously, maybe this is made up, maybe it's not. Jackson's currently researching it, a classic Jackson move. But yeah, so Coco tore her sink off the wall, and when asked what happened, Coco blamed it on the cat.
What?
Yeah. Look, we're finding out if that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, was that this, the man?
Yeah.
But there was also a woman. I thought the main trainer was a lady.
Hang on. But anyway, you can see there are many examples of a chimp or ape having a dog or cat friend. Yeah.
Is that like a human imposed thing where they've like.
No, they've gone to the pet shop of their own volition.
You can Google right now, chimp riding cat, and you will get the most adorable results you've ever seen.
I hope that cat is a panther.
Then in brackets, like, add something like not porn, or something like that. And then you will get the most adorable video you have ever seen.
But is the chimp on the cat or the cat on the chimp?
The chimp is on
the cat.
That's
an age-old question. The chimp is on the... Yeah, wait, you're talking about monkeys. Right?
Yeah.
Chimps are huge.
Oh, sorry.
Heavy.
Yeah, sorry. Monkey, yes.
Okay.
Monkeys, chimps, apes, whatever, when they have a pet.
Hey, when you're in the monkey house, it's not whatever.
this is one of the few things that matters.
What do you think, Evan? Is chimps or monkeys with a pet, maybe in particular a monkey riding a cat, is that a better primate than the human?
But this comes from humans anyway, right?
Right. Look, it sounds
like... They don't
have
pets in the wild. Are there any cases of...
I don't know if there are in the wild, but when we give them to them, they enjoy. They love having a pet. It's cute. It's very cute.
Have you considered that, Evan?
You're right. I'm sure it would be very cute.
Yeah, apparently it was. I just looked it up then, and it was that nothing Coco ever did was ever properly interpreted as anything other than just responding in a way that she'd been trained to respond.
Right. Isn't that what language is?
Well, no, not necessarily, because Coco never said anything. She just would make the right hand gestures she'd been taught to make in response to the things
that sign language is?
Yeah.
No, she never learned ASL. She would just make the hand gestures without knowing what they meant. So she would know that if asked a question, this was the hand gesture she was meant to make without understanding what she was saying to her researcher. And there were often times where she would just make random hand gestures and they would be like, oh, Coco means this. Yeah. Or Coco, that's not what you mean. Coco, what do you really mean? Right. And Coco would make another hand gesture. It's all a sham.
Yeah, there was a little bit of me that thought it might have been slightly off. Like, there was definitely things like, I mean, just some sort of a gesture, and they'd be like, this is what that means.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and how much have you edited out of this? Of it?
Coco didn't know.
But, yeah, there's some big Coco fans who listen to this, and that's going to break some hearts.
I'm so sorry,
but
everybody.
Coco did exist. The first thing you said made it sound like she didn't exist.
Coco the gorilla was never real. No, Coco the gorilla was real.
Coco the gorilla was real. Coco the gorilla had a cat.
Coco the gorilla was just a gorilla. She wasn't a special gorilla.
Also friends with Robin Williams.
Yes, she liked Robin Williams. She was happy to see him, but that's not really notable. Yeah. Any gorilla would be.
Do you have a suggestion?
Well, I was thinking last time I was on, I said Sasquatch. I can't say that again. Yeah. But I thought, what if I went the Florida skunk ape?
Oh,
what?
It's a great name.
It's great. You can find a picture of it if you Google Florida skunk ape.
Well, I will then.
Going to Google that.
it's a trap.
It's a specific...
Anyway, Coco doesn't exist. Let's talk about the Florida skunk ape.
It's a specific Bigfoot variety, I suppose, that's supposed to live in the swamplands of Florida. And there's a really famous photo of it where it looks quite cheery. That's the photo in question. Yeah.
That's great.
And it's supposed to smell a lot worse than any other kind of Sasquatch variety. That's why it's called a skunk ape.
Right. And it does... It's a different looking
one. It looks skunky.
Yeah.
And so this is another mythical...
Yeah. This is another cryptid.
Cryptid?
A creature purported to exist, but that has yet to be classified by science.
Right.
So there's a whole, like, faux science called cryptology. Or non-faux science.
Non-faux science, depending on whoever's studying it, basically. Yeah.
Depending on whether or not you're talking to a cryptozoologist.
A zoologist who's like, oh, yeah, there, maybe. There are a lot of undocumented species.
Cryptozoology. Yeah. I'm basically an amateur cryptozoologist.
Oh, me too.
I'm right. I love it. I did a go on about the lizard man.
Oh, Scape Orr?
Yeah.
Big fan. So love that guy.
Yeah, I'm such a big fan. Did you know this about him?
Yeah.
He loves butter beans.
That's great news.
That's my favorite fact about
that's
him.
So good. A regular lizard probably doesn't eat butter beans.
Butter beans. There was a local news story, and they interviewed one of the local experts, and he goes, "The thing you got to know about the lizard man, he loves butter beans." And I just kept playing it over and over.
Oh, fuck, that's
it
so good.
And then he showed him the T-shirts where, you know,
oh, of course, yeah,
butter
absolutely.
Beans on them. Yeah, and I think they sold butter beans, and
that's
wild. What you got to remember.
Yeah, he loves butter beans.
Loves butter beans.
But Florida skunk ape, just a great variety of ape. He's yet to be found. Not as aggressive as the Sasquatch. Sort of dirtier. A little bit more down to earth. You know?
Yeah. The people's ape.
Yeah, absolutely. Loves rocking around in the swamplands, scaring Floridians.
You look so wonderfully perplexed.
You're doing a little reading there, Ev.
You're learning about the Florida skunk.
It's described as a large, foul-smelling, hairy, ape-like creature.
Yeah, probably.
It could just be a guy.
Yeah, that's true. A stinky man is that description's accurate for. Love the Florida skunk ape.
Florida skunk ape is a fantastic.
There's very little actual information about this.
What would you like to know?
This skunk ape. Well,
Evan, please. I'm here to answer any and all questions you might have.
What it is?
It's a skunk ape. It's a North American ape or nape. This one.
Shut up. You made that up.
No, I didn't.
No,
that's what they
up.
Call them. North American apes are sometimes shortened to napes.
Really?
Like the nape of your neck. Yeah.
Okay.
No, not like the nape of your... They're not named for the nape of the neck.
And this one happens to live in Florida in the swamplands.
If it exists.
It also shares similarities with another creature called the Missouri Monster. Okay, which is another swamp-dwelling ape.
From
Missouri.
Missouri, yeah.
Okay. Probably, if it's anything, a Gigantopithecus, which is a kind of ancient ape.
Yeah, King Louis and the remade.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Although he did look more like an orangutan than whatever Sasquatch or the skunk ape looked like. So, you know, your mileage may vary.
So, Evan, are you convinced? And before you say anything, imagine if the skunk ape had a pet.
Yes. I think he was walking a dog through the swamps, and the dog was maybe, let's say, a greyhound, so it had to, like, lift its legs to get through the swamp.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
It's a great image.
It's very good.
Imagine he has to pick it up.
But humans are real.
You've got me there.
Being confirmed.
That's one of the things you like about humans.
That they exist.
Yeah.
Concretely.
Yeah.
Should we make a list of the things that you like about people so that we can try and work out?
Yeah, we can try and counter them with... things that are better.
So likes it being real.
Yeah, what else?
Yeah. I mean, I've given reasons in the past, but I can't remember what any of them are.
Yeah. Like a hair, clearly.
Yeah, you like how they talk, I think.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Which, yes. And you've just sort of ruined that for Coco.
Yeah, I think their intelligence. I think they feel like our idea of intelligent gorillas is now completely... Because wasn't Coco like a prime example of like, they have intelligence, look at this.
No gorilla has ever asked a question. That's a fact.
Right.
And that is like a theory of mind thing.
No dog has ever asked a question.
Yeah, but gorillas have answered questions.
No one claims that dogs are intelligent, do they?
Yeah.
Maybe they do.
But it's like a theory of mind thing for an animal to be able to question the world. But gorillas right. don't. Which
like
shows,
how that bird asked
yeah, exactly.
what color it was.
Whatever his name was. Jones the Macaw?
Yeah.
It's like the smartest bird ever.
And it doesn't even know what color it is.
You stupid moron bird.
Look at yourself.
You are, you fool.
Look down.
That's a reasonable question for a dog to ask, but not for a bird.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Evan.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I've lost
what a
all
fool.
For
what an absolute idiot.
Dumb bird.
Okay, so you do sound unswayed.
Yeah, I'm unswayed for now.
All right, should we talk about today's topic?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's a short story from 1902
Ooh.
Called The Monkey's Paw. It was a supernatural short story by W.W. Jacobs.
W.W. Jacobs. What do you reckon this W stood for?
Well,
Willy Wonka.
World Wide Web.
Mr. Worldwide Jacobs.
Yeah.
It's Pitbull.
Yeah, wow.
And it was from a compilation called The Lady of the Barge.
Okay. Is anybody else imagining, like, Lady of the Lake style, a hand exploding out of just garbage with a sword?
No.
I'm imagining a very underwhelming early Titanic version.
Yeah.
Barge gently tapping. Oh, no. We'll go around.
Yeah. Just bounces off.
Don't let go, Jack. I'm just going to the edge of the lake.
So I'm going to tell you about, I'm basically going to give you a summary of this story from classic website, sparknotes.com.
Wonderful. How long is this short story that it needs to be distilled to a summary?
Yeah.
Well, it's longer than this, but shorter than a full book. Is that right? Yeah, so it's multiple pages long. Well, let me see if I can find out how long it is. How important is this to you to find out?
It doesn't matter. I could look that up while you
look that
move
up.
On.
Yeah. Word count. All right, so I'm going to give you the plot overview.
All right, I'm excited.
This is basically ripping off friend Dave Warnicki's Book Cheat podcast.
He
only
have to
I haven't read it. I haven't read this summary
what
yet.
What an interesting twist on the Book Cheat formula.
Read like a great podcast.
Read the book together. Whoa.
All I really know about this story, to be honest, I've read summaries of it, but not this summary.
Yeah.
And I've seen it parodied in like The Simpsons episode.
It's a classic. Everybody knows the monkey paw. Even if you've not read or seen it depicted, you get the idea of a monkey paw.
I can't wait for this audiobook with commentary from us.
This could be big.
Yeah.
This could be a whole new direction for the podcast.
Audiobook with commentary. Sounds like a nightmare.
Part one, so this is from sparknotes.com. We'll link in the show notes. Part one opens on a dark and stormy night as the three members of the White family relax inside their cozy house. Herbert White and his father are playing a game of chess while Mrs. White knits near the fire. This is a different time. There's no TV.
Yeah. You
gotta entertain yourself somehow. Why don't they just watch Netflix or something? Back then it was all chess.
I'm so excited to find out how that... Because I assumed that this would begin with acquiring the monkey paw. Because it's an odd item to have in the home.
Yeah.
They must already own it. That's wild.
No, I think there's a third option.
Maybe it crawls up to the door and lays down.
Mails itself to you.
Or... as we'll find out soon, maybe a friend drops by.
Oh.
After his son wins the game of chess, Mr. White complains about the terrible weather and nearly deserted road they live near. What a weird complaint.
Man. Wish that road was fuller.
So we live nearby. I can't see it.
Not even out the window.
It'd be nice to have a little rumble.
Yeah, I wish I could hear a truck.
A family friend, Sergeant Major Morris, arrives for a visit.
Great name.
Over whiskey. Without an E. And I found out recently, without an E means a certain thing. I think that's Scotch whiskey.
Oh, okay. I thought you said without a knee.
Without an
like,
E.
The major's missing a knee.
He's blown got off in the war.
Yeah. He's got the thigh. He's got the shin.
No, nothing joining.
They just put a metal stick to attach the two bits.
Sort of like a toothpick.
Yeah.
So over whiskey, he tells stories of his exploits abroad. Mr. White expresses interest in going to India. But the sergeant major says he would be better off staying at home. At Mr. and Mrs. White's urging, Sergeant Major Morris takes a small mummified paw out of his pocket. He explains that a fakir, which is a mystic miracle worker, have you heard that word? F-A-K-I-R?
Fakir? Yeah, fakir. I don't know.
He explains that a fakir placed a spell on the paw to prove that people's lives are governed by fate and that it is dangerous to meddle with fate. According to the sergeant major,
what a champion! This guy's gonna—he's like, something leads up to that. You don't sit there one day and look at the monkey paw and be like, "I know what I'm doing."
Tell you what leads up to that? A couple of whiskeys without the knee.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The sergeant major himself has already had his three wishes, as has another man.
Three wishes.
Is that how he lost his knee? Monkey paw has five fingers. Yeah. Four fingers and a thumb. Yeah.
Apparently, the original story is three.
Yeah. What do you do with the bonus fingers? I guess we'll find out.
Very good question. So he's already used his three wishes, and so has another man who used his third wish to ask for death.
Oh, that's intense.
Oh. Yeah.
But hard to get monkey pawed on that.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty final.
Unless it's hell.
Yeah, that's
true. All right, well, I'm creating hell if it didn't already exist. The sergeant major has considered selling the paw, but he doesn't want it to cause any more trouble than it already has. Moreover, no one will buy the paw without first seeing proof of its effect. The sergeant major throws the paw into the fire and Mr. White quickly rescues it. The sergeant major warns him three times to leave the paw alone, but he eventually explains how to make a wish on the paw. All right, you got me.
Okay, you're going to make hassling a cursed me wish. Fine. I also like being like, don't go to India. There's monkey paws.
Yeah.
Like, there's other stuff.
Be aware. Beautiful food.
Yeah.
Why not specifically warn about monkey paws? Yeah,
I know. That's like if you were like, oh, I'm thinking of visiting America. I'm like, nah, I wouldn't, dude. Bears. So I'd stay right at home.
I'd pull a bear paw out of my pocket.
The place is full of these. Not super full. You probably won't encounter one, but they're around. So I just wouldn't go in case.
I wouldn't say super full. Yeah, not up to the brim.
It's not even like that because you can accidentally encounter a bear. Like
that's
a monkey
crazy
paw is...
You just say, no, not for me.
Oh, I'm good. I imagine that's cursed. Back home. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. People do. I reckon there are people who don't come to Australia based on
That's true.
The fear of dangerous animals that... Like, when was the last time you saw one?
No, I walked into a spider web the other day.
Spiders are around.
Yeah.
But when was the last time you were, like, fatally bitten by one?
Never.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't think I've ever been fatally bitten by one. Yeah,
exactly. Evan?
I don't think anyone has since, like, isn't that, like, the 70s? Last case of someone actually dying from a spider bite?
I think it's more recent than you'd think.
Oh, really?
Actually, yeah, I think there was a case, like, not that long ago.
I think
like...
snakes is the 70s.
Oh, right, okay.
Really?
Yeah,
but that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because there
feel like
so
snakes
many
would
snakes
be more dangerous than...
They've kind of figured it out, though, right? Yeah, antidotes, they got them on file.
You got your anti-venoms.
Also,
you ever
snakes
bit
don't live in, like... Well, houses? Snakes do sometimes come into houses or whatever, but not as much as spiders, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
It depends on where you live as well.
Yeah.
Melbourne, there's not a lot of snakes.
No.
You do get
but Queensland
spiders.
Snake heaven. Snake City.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Snake City in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty bad for them.
Mrs. White says the story reminds her of the Arabian Nights and jokingly suggests that her husband wish her a pair of extra hands to help her with all her work.
Oh, wow, don't do that. Don't make that wish.
No!
Lady, no!
No!
Just ask for the work to not be needed to be done anymore.
Extra hands. Oh my God.
The sergeant major doesn't find this joke funny.
Fair.
However, and urges Mr. White to use common sense if he insists on wishing. After supper and more tales of India, the sergeant major leaves. Herbert, who's the son, says he thinks the sergeant major is full of nonsense and jokes that his father should make himself an emperor so that he doesn't have to listen to Mrs. White's nagging.
Jesus. What a rude little boy.
Imagine a 12-year-old child.
Your mum. I think he's an adult son as well.
Oh, that's even worse. It's also so wild to imagine somebody coming by with a full-on monkey's paw, leaving it and leaving it being like, this guy's full of shit.
Yeah.
You're like, something's happening.
Well, yeah, it's like one of the... I think the wishes will come true, but they won't be cursed.
They'll be good wishes. Yeah. We'll be right.
Mrs. White playfully chases her son. Maybe he isn't an adult.
Okay.
I just know he goes to work the next day. So I,
oh wow.
So what? But it's 1902, so maybe he's a youngish.
Maybe he's doing like chimney sweeping or yeah. something.
Chimney sweeping, but there's no one near them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe that's why they're complaining. Right. Oh man, you got to go so far to work. If only there was houses on that deserted road.
Mr. White says he has everything he wants and isn't sure what to wish for. Herbert says that £200 would enable them to pay off the money owed to the house. Apparently that's equivalent of a few hundred thousand dollars.
But that's still crazy. Well, if I have a wish.
So like is this set in the UK? I thought it was in America.
I think it's in English.
I guess, if it's pounds.
Pounds and chimney sweeps.
Yeah. Chimney sweeps.
So we made
our edition, nevertheless. No, but I feel if somebody was like, Jackson, wish for $1 million, the next logical step is why not two?
Yeah.
Being like, I wish for £200 and then we can pay off the house. Why not be like, wish for £400? Yeah. Now we're £200 up. Like,
yeah, let's have a little extra.
Let's treat ourselves.
But yeah, I guess it was because the sergeant major said be sensible.
Oh, no,
maybe.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe true. He's like going, maybe the trick is don't be greedy.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Maybe that sounds dangerous.
Because that feels
off
like
the house. That's all.
There would have been, there'd be stories where that would be true.
Yeah.
You were greedy, so we're punishing
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, true.
Like Willy Wonka.
Which was probably out by 1902.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was Willy Wonka wrote this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't Willy that actually Wonka when Jacobs? The when the second one came out?
What, Willy Wonka 2?
No, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, no, you are correct, yes. Mr. White says he has everything he wants and isn't sure what to wish for. Did I just read this? Yes.
Yes.
Herbert says that £200 would enable blah, blah, blah. Mr. White wishes aloud for £200 as Herbert accompanies him with melodramatic chords played on a piano.
Wait dun, a second, dun, Dad. Dun. Wait a second, Dad. Let me get to the... Hold on. Don't wish just yet. Don't. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
What a sarcastic child this person is.
He hates the major.
Mr. White suddenly cries out and says that the paw moved like a snake in his hand. After Mr. and Mrs. White go to bed, Herbert sits by the fire and sees a vividly realistic monkey face in the flames.
Oh.
He puts out the fire, takes the monkey's paw, and goes to bed.
Psh, don't need that. Good night.
I saw a realistic monkey face in the flames. Anyway, night all.
It's weird to take the monkey paw to bed as well.
Yeah.
Are you cuddling it like a little teddy bear? I'm maybe scared it would grab my throat in the night.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Don't put that in me.
The monkey paw.
Yeah. The idea, but also the monkey paw, I suppose.
Neither are good.
I guess this is the episode where I need to specify this sort of stuff. Yeah, don't put either in me.
Yeah.
So that's part one. Part two begins on the next morning, a sunny winter day. The room seems cheerful and normal in contrast to the previous evening's gloomy atmosphere, and the mummified paw now looks harmless. Mrs. White comments on how ridiculous the Sergeant Major's story was, but remarks that £200 couldn't do any harm. They could, Herbert jokes, if the money fell out of the sky into his father's head, onto his father's head. Mr. White answers that people often mistake coincidence for granted wishes. Herbert then leaves for work. Later that day, Mrs. White notices a stranger outside dressed in nice clothes. The stranger hesitantly approaches their gate 3 times before opening it and coming up to the door. Mrs. White ushers him in. He nervously states that he is a representative of Moore and Megan's, Herbert's employer. Mrs. White asks whether Herbert is all right, and the representative says he is hurt, but in no pain. For a moment, Mrs. White feels relieved until she realizes that Herbert feels no pain because he's dead.
What?
Wow.
What?
Wow. What a way to phrase it. He's okay. He's not hurting. Oh, so he's good?
He's
no,
hurt, but he's not in pain.
Yeah.
He's in no pain.
He's in no pain. He's fine.
Or he's at peace now. Yeah. Oh, thank God. He's resting up. He's okay.
Yeah, he's comfortable.
When is he coming back? No, you don't understand.
Ma'am.
He's in a better place. Yeah, but when is he coming
he's
back?
No longer...
back
to hey, that's a bit rough. You've only just come to our house. I think we've got a fine place. Yeah, so that's full on. The representative says that Herbert was caught in the machinery.
Ooh.
After a pause, Mr. White says... What chimney sweeps? After a pause, Mr. White says that Herbert was the only child they had. Embarrassed, The representative.
Oh, we don't have another one to give you. Sorry.
Do you not? Oh, we thought you had a backup.
That was our last child.
Sorry, the embarrassment is actually on the representative.
I see.
As he stresses that he is simply obeying Moore and Megan's orders. He then explains that the company will not take any responsibility for the death, but will give the Whites £200. Mrs. White shrieks and Mr. White faints. That's part two.
Whoa.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's intense.
Which brings us to the third and final part, where the Whites bury Herbert. Several days pass, and the couple feels exhausted and hopeless. A week after the burial, Mr. White wakes up and hears his wife crying by the window. He gently urges her to come back to bed, but she refuses. He dozes off again until Mrs. White suddenly cries out that she wants the monkey's paw. In hysterics, what do you reckon she's going to...
I reckon she's going to wish for her son back, and I don't like what's going to happen.
I reckon she's going to wish for another 200 pounds. It worked the first time.
Yeah, she quietly is hoping it takes out her husband's son.
She's
imagine
rich
an assassin who works like that.
So she wants the monkey's paw. In hysterics, she tells him to go downstairs and wish Herbert back to life. Mr. White resists and tells her that Herbert's death and the £200 they had received had nothing to do with his wish the previous night. Mr. White says that he didn't... It says the previous night, but that's not right.
Yeah,
it
said a few days past. Doesn't make sense.
Mr. White says that he didn't want to tell her before, but Herbert was so mangled that he had to identify the body by looking at the clothes.
That's rough.
Mrs. White doesn't listen, however, and continues to insist on wishing Herbert back to life with the monkey's paw. And with Adam, yeah. I reckon that might be a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to ever work in your favor. This is a pet cemetery situation. Yeah. It's not coming back the same.
Mr. White retrieves the paw from its place downstairs. Mrs. White orders him to make the wish two more times until he finally complies. It's all rules of three here.
Yeah, I know.
He makes the wish, and as they wait, the candle goes out. Mm. They hear the clock, the creak of a stair, and the sound of a mouse. At last, Mr. White...
Okay.
Three things again. Clock, stair, mouse. You know that's bad news. Those three in that order. At last, Mr. White goes downstairs. His match goes out, and before he can strike another, he hears a knock at the door. Another knock sounds, and Mr. White dashes upstairs. So, in another version of the synopsis I read,
yeah.
It was like it really spelled it out. It's like the cemetery was around an hour or so's walk away. This was around an hour or so after.
Wow.
Right, okay.
Another knock sounds. Mr. White dashes upstairs. Mrs. White hears the third knock.
Okay.
And
freeze again.
It's Herbert. She realizes he hadn't returned right after the wish had been made because he had to walk 2 miles from the graveyard to their house. Mr. White begs her not to open the door, but she breaks free and runs downstairs. As she struggles to reach the bolt, the knocking becomes more insistent. Mr. White searches frantically for the paw, which has dropped to the floor. As Mrs. White pulls back on the bolt, Mr. White finds the paw and makes a final wish. The knocking stops and Mrs. White cries out. Mr. White dashes downstairs, opens the door to see the street is empty, which makes him furious. No, it doesn't. That last bit was me. But so but he's
wished the son away.
He used the second wish to bring the son back to life and the third one to wish it
kind
away.
Kind of a waste.
And that's how it ends. I think that, I was going to say, they got away with it okay, but they lost their son.
Yeah, their
but they
son
did get $200.
That's true. Paid off the house.
Yeah, okay.
You know, in 20 years, 30 years, you're going to, well, swings and roundabouts.
Should have wished for more money then.
Yeah.
Might as well have wished for as much as
possible. I wonder
possible.
If, yeah, do you think that would have played into it? If he'd wished for 400, would he have lost two people?
Oh, good point. Well, yeah, but I know, I think it wouldn't have mattered because it's weird that the money had to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like it could magically... They can bring the sun back to life in all his mangled glory, but they can't manifest 200 quid out of thin air.
I wonder if it's like a function of the wish that something awful needs to happen to balance it out, or if the monkey paw is sentient and hates you.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Well, the monkey's face appeared in the fire. So that is a whole monkey that has been robbed of his hand for dark magic.
Oh, right. So the rest of the monkey's still involved.
Well, it seems like
The paw is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, absolutely. Get a whole monkey. Get everything curling. That's 10 wishes. 20, sorry.
Him
apparently only, 12, according to this story.
Yeah, that's true.
Him walking, they go, well, there's the exact time for it took for him to walk there. Yeah. But then the money is just happens the next day.
Yeah, and the kid can disappear.
Yeah.
Like, unless the dad, Mr. White, was like, I wish my son didn't exist.
Right.
Or something to that effect. Mm. Well, there was no negative consequence to the last wish.
Yeah. I think that's where the story ends. So,
well, maybe we don't find out about it.
The sequel, Monkey Board 2. The Vengeance.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, I think it's a really interesting story, but I also thought maybe he's written it so, I mean, that could have all played out and played out in their minds. You know?
Yes.
Maybe it could have been a coincidence. Maybe the knocking at the door was just the
someone
wind
else, yeah.
or someone else. Mm. So I like kind of how zombie son was there. This could actually have
Yeah, a lot of it's just
thing.
What you're imagining. Yeah.
Something
reader.
I've just realized. Does the story at any point describe the fingers actually curling in?
No.
I was wondering that too.
It said writhe like
that
a snake.
Simpson thing?
But
yeah, it did say writhe like a snake, but not like one finger. Mm.
Yeah, I wonder where that came from because that's such a like a
that
vivid
is a classic
image.
I know it from The Simpsons.
Yeah, I think I've seen it in The Simpsons, but I also have in my head like a vivid image of it, like a prop doing that.
Right, because there are so many versions of this films, and there was a 1948 film called The Monkey's Paw. There was a 1923 film. There was a play in 1903, the year after it came out. Another stage adaptation in 1907. Film in 1915, another film in 1919. So they're just like 23, a radio play in 28.
It's like an evocative horror story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
I think it's at the end when the son's knocking on the door, like I like that it leaves anything up to your imagination.
Yeah.
What he's looking like on the other side.
Yeah.
Especially how mangled he is by the machinery. That's good. They can make this like a modern, like a horror film.
Absolutely.
You know.
Did this happen
give
in
it a Jordan
Buffy?
Peele
you guys watch Buffy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen all of Buffy, and that kind of rings a bell. I reckon that is right. I reckon there's Buffy Monkey's Paw.
Someone somehow wishes her mum back to life.
Oh.
And that happens where you kind of see her walking to the door, and then they don't open the door. They do something, and but I can't.
I think you might be right. Does the episode "It's Not Your Mother's Fault" ring a bell? Oh, no, sorry. Forever, it looks like it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And it was 17th episode of season 5.
There you go. Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Can I just say, an excellent piece of foreshadowing, not foreshadowing, but something that this story does, is they make sure to establish that the road that the dead boy will walk down is deserted.
Yeah. Right.
So that nobody's going to see him.
Yes, that's right.
A little bit of like, that road by us is, there's never anyone on it to see anything weird.
Yeah,
so
that
man.
Is. So he just set it up so it all can be. And I guess that must have been important to him writing it, that this isn't some bullshit fiction. It's a psychological
thing.
Like,
as he's writing it, like, it's great to imagine he like finishes it and he's like, people are going to wonder why no one saw this zombie boy.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the start and have the dad say, man, lucky no one's on that road. Full stop, cut print, we're good.
I think the version I most remember, or the version that's most iconic for me, is like they do a version of it on, what's it called? Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. What's the Canadian one?
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
This is the first meeting of the Midnight Society.
Yeah. Which is very funny as well, because for the money wish, he wishes for a yacht.
That's good.
And I think the way it works is like his uncle dies and he inherits his uncle's yacht.
Man.
Oh, okay.
That's not too bad. Uncle's better than son, let's be honest.
I think it's like a long lost uncle as well, so one that he never even met.
Well, then who's complaining? I'm going to see if I can find exactly the Monkey Paw story that I'm remembering.
And the one in The Simpsons, I can't quite remember how it... the first two wishes. One is one that he's rich, Homer's rich or something. But I just remember the third one. He's like, he figures out, it is cursed. So I'm going to make a wish that cannot be beaten. Good luck messing with this. I want a turkey sandwich on rye. And he orders it with mayonnaise and whatever. And then he has a bite and he goes, that all seems okay. Well, the turkey's a little dry. The turkey's a little dry. Damn you.
Yeah.
That is good. That's a good bit.
It's a good bit. Good bit.
That's a good Monkey Paw bit.
Tell you what, controversial opinion, but I'll say it. Simpsons, all right.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. An all right show, yeah. Does the trick.
I think they did pretty good. Yeah. Have you ever thought about defeating a cursed wish like this, Adam?
So, it's funny you should say that. I was up last night, actually. It was a dark and stormy night. Presumably at the same time that Jackson was finding out about Coco the gorilla, I was sitting in silent contemplation of how I would defeat the Monkey Paw.
Are you serious? You were thinking about it last night.
I absolutely
was. You came in not knowing what we were going to talk about.
That's amazing.
That is wild.
I didn't even know I was going to be on this like yesterday, let alone
that is spooky.
The topic. So,
Happy Halloween.
I think I would have to waste a wish, basically just wishing that my future wishes were fine.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I've always thought that with a genie. Yeah. You go, I wish that every subsequent wish happened exactly as I intended it to.
Right.
And then you can kind of play fast and loose with your next
wishes.
But
is that kind of like no wishing for more wishes? You can't wish for love. I'm thinking of Aladdin now.
Yeah.
Surely there's a rule in there that's like, nah.
Monkey's paw ain't telling you the rules.
Yeah, that's true. There's no specific...
Hang on, you're saying you wish that future wishes don't...
Go wrong.
Don't go right. Awry, yeah.
But then the problem is that wish is going to go wrong,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but how? What's going to go wrong?
You'll die or something, right?
Shot in the head.
Yeah.
You didn't even get 200
pounds.
You won't
get the future wishes.
The monkey paw just sticks its fingers down your throat and makes you vomit.
You just go like, fuck you.
I look at the
That's not in the spirit of the game.
Yeah. I look at the
All the fingers crawl except the middle fingers.
I look at the monkey's paw and I say, I wish all of my future wishes go as I intend. And then immediately you hear a crack. My head rocks backwards. I've been assassinated by a monkey paw.
I'd wish for the rest of the monkey to come back. That's like freeing the genie. You just put the paw back on.
Free the monkey paw.
No, that's scary because then you give the monkey paw to the monkey and the monkey looks at you and just goes, and then the monkey paw curls down. You're like, what have I done? Humanity destroyed.
Well, maybe that's...
Maybe that's for the best.
But if it is for the best, then that's not what will
that's
happen.
That's true. The monkeys get destroyed as well. There's a few of them left. Conservation efforts were important.
I feel that falls into the same category. So I don't think the monkey can make a wish. I have some precedent here. Yeah. So I don't think the monkey can use its own paw for a wish.
Yeah.
On the precedent that the rabbit's foot is not lucky for that rabbit.
That's a good point. But can I pitch you this? The monkey reattaches his hands, right? So he's got both his paws back.
He's found a doctor.
Yeah, he's refused. He's a magical entity. Yeah. And then he wishes that his fists were really, really powerful. And as he does, his fingers curl into fists. And then he punches me in the face.
I like that this monkey... is wishing not to just kill you, but the monkey wants to kill you.
It wants to hit me. That's what it wants to do.
What kind of monkey do you think it is?
I imagine a chimpanzee for some reason, but that's not a monkey.
No, I thought, but yeah, they used to say monkey to mean pretty much all primates back in the day. Mm. I wonder that as well. I reckon the one I picture on The Simpsons, I reckon that was a chimp's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A chimp's wrist. And hand.
But it could have been like one of those little, is it bonobo? An ape? It is.
Bonobo's a chimp, yeah.
A chimp, yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. And an ape. Sorry,
it is both. Maybe a capuchin?
Oh,
but it's a little hand. That's a problem.
That's a tiny hand, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got to be able to hold
but
it in the palm of your
hand. But he also said it was in his pocket.
Oh, that's true. Maybe it was little.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's, yeah, I always imagine a big. Maybe that's The Simpsons again.
Maybe this is, you know, the we're meant to think the idea is to not disturb fate, but the real moral of the story is leave monkey hands alone.
Yeah. Come on, be kind to them.
There's this e-notes website. I think all these stories are just for school kids to cheat their way through exams, basically. Not cheat, but to, you know, shortcut their way through.
I should just say, I checked, it's 14 pages. It's not that hard.
I could have, I should have just read the whole thing.
Maybe.
Well,
but also, what are all these students who need cliff notes for? Come on!
I much preferred the cliff notes. I understand. I get it 100% because I don't want to be every single time things happen 3 times.
Yeah, that's a good point. Look, we can't be here all day.
This old Tommy English language. Yeah, you know, who was the like time? Road and
just give me the. Come on, what skip think, to the end.
What do you think the major thought about it afterwards? Was the major smug or was he like, yeah, it sucks?
I really did try to warn you. Someone probably tried to warn me too.
I told you so, but here we are.
There's a certified educator called Sarah Miles who's written this on the e-notes page.
Yeah.
And it's answering the question, what are the moral values of the monkey's paw?
Oh, that's interesting.
She says, the monkey's paw is a tale of warning. The short story is a warning to all of us about what is really important in life. It makes us question our moral values. The whites have a good life. Once the monkey's paw is introduced to them, everything changes for them. It changes the moral values they each have. The warning of the poor is that you need to be really careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Wait, that can't be it. Those wishes aren't real.
Yeah, that can't be the message.
But also, I mean, they are quite careful, aren't they?
Yeah, they are careful.
They were
reasonable.
Well, they were reasonable till their son died.
Yeah. The first wish was reasonable.
Yeah. But what does reasonable mean? Like, what counts as a reasonable wish?
Yeah, that's right, because
if £200 to pay off your house isn't reasonable, is reasonable like, I wish this hole in my shoes was smaller? Fixed. Yeah. I'm not greedy. I just want it littler.
Still a bit selfish. What you should be asking for is that guy over there's hole in his shoe to be a little bit smaller.
You're thinking like £200 is not much money, but of course, back in the day, like this is...
You got 200,000, not 200,000.
So that's a lot of money. Like they are asking for a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's where it comes from. Maybe they are being greedy there.
Should have just asked for a shilling or something.
I'm wondering if there is a monetary limit. What is the monetary limit?
Like if it was us and I wish for a dollar, is that okay? $5. Dan, stop me when it's too much.
I bet a dollar is definitely fine because imagine it was us. You wished for a dollar and I went away to work and I got mangled in a machine and they gave you a dollar in compensation.
Wow.
That doesn't make sense. A dollar is surely fine.
No, but you'd get a dollar and then you'd stub your toe or something, right?
Yeah, that's right. The damage has to fit the reward.
Maybe you lose a finger in the machinery.
Yeah, and you're like, they gave me a dollar for
my
it.
My fingers are worth more than a dollar.
maybe just the tip.
Yeah.
Ooh, what even that?
What bit of your body is worth a dollar if they shaved your mustache?
I would shave all of my facial hair for a dollar.
Okay. Anyone got any money here?
No.
Well, see, now I need to pay for the shave.
I've got 20 cents. How much of your mustache will you shave off for 20 cents?
You can go once with scissors for 20 cents.
Surely that's worse.
Yeah, whatever. I ain't doing anything today.
I like to imagine them coming to me and being like, so Adam has lost his mustache in a machine. And okay, here's a dollar.
Oh, what? No, that's terrifying. That's awful. Imagine your mustache getting caught in the machine. No.
His mustache is a piece now.
When is it coming back?
But he'll have it when he comes home. No, his mustache is dead.
Sarah Miles, the certified educator, finishes her answer saying, the short story is a tragic look into the greed that lays at the bottom of the human heart. We always seem to want what someone else has. The moral of this story tells the reader to beware of thinking someone else has it better than you.
Does it?
Really?
I'm questioning her certification.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
I'm not sure. No offense to Sarah Miles. I think she does a great work. She's been an educator since 2014. She's given 500 answers.
Wow. It isn't envy, is it?
No.
It's not that person's got that. I want that. Yeah.
That person's paid off their house.
Yeah, I want to pay off my house.
That person has a son.
It's just like, it's actually, it feels like the moral is just don't mess with the monkey paw. The monkey paw is the villain of the piece, not the white family.
Yeah,
it feels like, in other places I've read it, it's basically saying don't mess with fate.
Well, that's what the guy who, the fakir who cursed the monkey paw in the first place.
When I say I read it somewhere else, I read it in the story itself. By one of the main characters.
Explicitly said that was the case. What would you, okay, so say we get a monkey paw here in the studio, okay. A fella, Sergeant Major Morris comes in and he's like, don't mess with this, and he leaves. And say we get a wish per finger because there's... Okay, we get a wish each and then one bonus wish.
Jackson and I will share a wish.
No, the thumb doesn't count. It'll be a dud if we use the thumb.
Well, that's what I think you used. I like the idea that, you know, you're talking about giving a number. How about $5? Yeah. How about, and then the monkey paw hovers in that sort of sideways thumbs up. Slowly, no. Ooh, thumbs up. $7 is okay. Yes.
But what would you wish for? What would you use your wish?
So assuming I have to or...
You have to use a wish, and we are like the whites, let's assume, where we don't think there'll be anything negative. Our is like the very idea.
You'll tell me what will happen.
Yeah, well, I think we'll figure out what will go wrong with the wish.
Well, okay, well, I think the obvious one would be for everyone to be happy.
Yes, that seems like a good wish.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That seems reasonable as well. Well, reasonable in that it's a kind thing to do. It's a nice thing to do.
But what's the downside?
The downside is Hitler is happy.
That's true. You've made all of the terrible people
all
in the world.
Bad people are still there just gleefully.
They don't deserve to be happy.
Happy doesn't necessarily mean good. They're murdering kids. Like, yeah, this rolls, but it rolled before, but it still rolls.
Wait, is that, and that kid is now
the kid's
just
like,
happily
what?
Dying.
I've had my time.
Oh, yeah, well, I did not see that coming at all. And maybe, I was thinking, maybe the downside would be that if everyone's happy, that, you know, is there any happiness if the baseline's already happy?
Right,
That's also a hard thing for you to see. I mean, you'll see it on the news, I guess.
Yeah. Therapists would lose their jobs.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, their whole livelihood would be destroyed.
Yeah, there's a lot of downsides to the global
But they would
happiness.
Still be happy.
Yeah,
they'd be jazzed about
and maybe
it.
There'd be new
there's
industries.
Nothing they could do but be happy.
Yeah.
It's real weird to see somebody in, like, a really sad state of life. Like, things have gone really bad for them. You know, like, I don't know, their kids have died and they've just given you a big smile.
Yeah, they're still really optimistic.
And I'd be like, Matt Stewart did this.
What if the downside of the wish is that everyone gets what they think they want?
What they think would make them happy.
Oh, yeah, right, but it actually doesn't.
So there's just like a world full of celebrities and rich people.
And then we all starve because no one's, you know, doing farm work.
Right.
Not to say, you know, some people I assume do want to do farm work. I don't, so I can't imagine wanting to do farm work.
What would you pick, Evan?
I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
That's a tough one.
It is really tough. One wish.
One wish.
One wish.
One wish that you think is going to go smoothly. Because obviously with any other wish, you're like I've got to think about this.
Yeah.
But if you're like, this wish was just a guaranteed success, you know.
Well, I mean, the obvious one is like to not have to work anymore, right?
Yeah. No more debt. You never got to work anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about money or anything. You can just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You're working your dream job.
Yeah, that's right.
And it sucks.
All of a sudden, you're creatively stolid and bored all the time. Everybody else is doing stuff during the day. It's very lonely. That's pretty bad. It could be worse. If you were like, I wish to never work a day in my life, could you then, and then it was like, hey, you don't need to work anymore. Could you still work?
Yeah, because that's the thing, right? Like, I'd still want to do the work that I want to do.
I know.
I just don't want to do the work that I don't want to do.
You would be like, I never want to work a day in my life. And then you would lose your current job and no one would ever hire you again.
Well, yeah, obviously how you word the wish is pretty crucial there.
Yeah.
I don't need to work another day in my life.
Yeah.
Like that.
I think the day in my life thing is that's needlessly poetic.
I don't ever have to work again. Is that better?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Can you poke a hole in that?
Well,
that's pretty good, right?
The dead don't need to work.
Yeah, that's true. Shot in the head by an assassin.
Crack! You fall forwards next to my corpse. We've both been assassinated by the monkey paw.
Yeah, right. Any sort of passive wording is going to be like that. Like, yeah. I don't have to do this. Or yeah, I,
then
I
it's going to make it
this.
So that it's not necessary because you are dead.
Okay.
What about you, Adam? Have you got a wish?
If I don't know that it's going to turn bad on me, yeah. I might just wish for like money.
Yeah, yeah. Money seems like a pretty
about
obvious.
£200.
About 200.
How much money would
you... gold? I wish for £200 of gold, not knowing what could possibly go wrong with that.
That's great because obviously I'm assuming we're all imagining it crushing you. And that's
I was imagining that the value of gold was gone.
I was imagining you had nowhere to put it.
The worst possible thing.
First, you get the monkey paw in the middle of the day at a cafe that you walked to. I gotta carry this home in shifts. But I like it crushing you because what a like an immediate and blunt downside.
Yeah.
Hooray! Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, lots of money. Yeah, you get a lot of things that could go wrong with it. Lots of money, people start disliking you. You lose all your friends because they're like, oh.
Yeah. Would you ask for like a ridiculous amount of money, like?
I don't know, maybe $100 million.
Okay,
something
all right.
Massive.
Yeah.
And then maybe I get $100 million, but maybe it's like I come across like a like drug money.
Ah, yeah,
like that.
True money that's tied to something. Absolutely. Right.
So you want to wish for amount of money in non-sequential bills, untraceable,
yeah, unmarked bills.
I wish for non-sequential, non-traceable money that definitely had nothing to do with criminal activity.
And won't crush me to death.
Yeah,
I think the tax office is still going to be okay about this.
Just taxed horribly.
Tax-free money.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay.
It comes with an accountant who knows all those loopholes that rich people use. Yeah.
Just deposit it in my account.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just deposit it into my account.
straight to your savings account. Getting that call from the bank. This economy. could you explain to our $100 million? I just got it. I don't know.
What do you complain? I could take it out.
I'll remove it if you want. I think I would wish for Heelys on every shoe I own. That seems pretty safe.
You are cracking your head.
These are the wheels that,
yeah, that
pop
I can
out.
Kick okay. out the heel. And any right. subsequent pair of shoes I get, slippers, boots, whatever.
Jackson, you don't tie your shoes normally. you're cruising for a bruising.
Absolutely. But how am I going to die from Heelys?
Yeah, but imagine you're always falling over.
Oh, that's okay. That's not that abnormal. That's not that different from regular life.
I don't think you'd die. I think we would die because we're asking for ridiculous things.
Yeah.
But your
Heelys in any pair of
that's
shoes
achievable.
Is pretty reasonable.
You could just buy Heelys, replace your entire shoe collection, and it'd cost you a couple of $100,
exactly.
right?
I feel like Jackson and my wishes are very similar. Both are going to result in happiness.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. When Matt
if
makes his happiness wish, I get Heelys.
Everyone.
Okay. Yes!
Your wish is surely just a microcosm of his wish because you're getting what you think you want.
The idea that you're like, you don't want Heelys. You get Heelys, you regret it instantly.
Can we think of one, just to bring it back to primates, is there one wish that we could primate related?
Well, we do have the thumb left.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So maybe the thumb's for
thumbs for apes.
Yeah.
The thumb is our ape
What would
wish.
All apes wish for?
Yeah, what would Coco wish for?
Bananas?
Yeah, I keep going back to bananas, but that feels reductive, you know? Feels cheap for the apes. I also keep going back to sentience, but I feel like they don't need that either.
Yeah. That'll backfire.
What about we give them monkey paws of their own and they can decide?
Oh.
Yeah, they get a wish each.
Yeah, we give every ape a monkey paw and they can come up with their own wish.
Oh my God. You want to watch the world burn.
That's just a lot of apes getting crushed by bananas.
But we've decided that they're not intelligent, right?
That's true. Hey, that's a lot of just loose monkey paws on the ground.
Yeah, they'd just be like, ugh.
A dead monkey. I want this. Yeah.
That makes you think, doesn't it? Well, that's real fun. We normally, towards the end of the text or whatever we're talking about, we give it a little score.
Yeah.
Out of bananas. How big's the bunch? How many bananas in the bunch? How ripe? You know, you can
go
deep into it as you like.
Change the bananas as we see fit, yeah.
So give us a score based on the story and also the beautiful retelling by Sparknotes.
I was thinking, because it's quite a spooky story, maybe a bunch of bananas, but a bunch of bananas that, like the urban legend claims, have tarantulas in them, you know, in the spirit of Halloween.
Right.
You know the urban legend that the black bit at the end of a banana is tarantula eggs?
I've never heard of this.
Well, but... let's say for my bunch, that's true.
Okay.
I think isn't it nearly all the urban myths involve tarantula eggs?
Yeah.
Beehive haircut.
Yeah. Tarantula eggs. The woman who microwaved a dog to clean it. Tarantula eggs.
What?
That's a classic urban legend. A woman who's going slightly senile, she wants to clean her poodle, but she wants to do it quickly, so she puts it in the microwave and it explodes.
Clean?
Yeah.
Dry.
Dry.
Okay, all right, okay.
Eat it to bin clean.
That makes that sense, makes obviously.
Yeah.
Hair dryer.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I feel like I'm in the same boat as Jackson because I did enjoy the story.
It's a good story, yeah.
Very spooky, very spooky. So maybe my bunch is very big, but I can't put a tarantula in it. Yeah. Tarantula in it. So maybe it moves like a tarantula.
Oh, that's bad. I'm scared of that.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But
at
not
all.
As a mushy. So if it attacks me, I can just squish it. But it's still spooky.
Spiders are kind of mushy as well.
That's true.
Imagine it trying to, like, with two bananas trying to bite you.
Huh. But then the black bits at the end exploded to red.
Oh, I was pregnant. Okay, well, this is the most creative scoring we've had on the show before.
I'm going to give it just 1 out of 1 bananas.
Oh, the perfect banana.
I think it's great. I can't fault the story. I didn't realize that it had the element of it could all just be in their minds. That really steps it up.
Yeah,
I think.
Me too. I really like that a lot. Hopefully that's not like they've just taking all these details out in this summary, the real book. It's like going
really explicit.
Yeah.
And he looks through the eye hole and there was clearly a zombie boy out there. I think, well, I'm similar to you, but I'm going to give it, based on how they love the rule of three, I'm going to give it 3 out of 3 bananas.
Right.
Very good.
Beautifully right. Yeah, I really enjoyed that story a lot. I might read the whole 15-page version
now. Yeah, that would be good to know.
Yeah, and there's it's easily accessible online as an old out of copyright book. So
yeah.
I'll find one and put a link to it if people are interested in that as well. And the other thing we normally do is because the first guest on the show, Andy Matthews, told us, he's some sort of scientist, he said that that chimps and humans share about 98% DNA.
Mm.
I think bonobos might be our closest relative, but that's sort of possibly, around that number.
Yeah.
So how much of yourself do you see in the monkey pool? Including the curse and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it's basically asking how much of an arsehole are you? That's a percentage out of 100.
I imagine the moment you brought it up that imagining a family of apes that receive my hand.
Yeah.
And a Colonel Major ape being like, careful of the Jackson paw.
Yeah. Colonel Chimp.
Colonel Chimp being like, it'll curse you. So I think my hand in that kind of reverse ape world would act like a monkey paw. So I'd say 100%
yeah, 100%.
Of myself in the monkey paw. Yeah,
I'm also seeing quite a lot of myself. Yeah. I feel like if I were in the position of the monkey paw, I would be, and people were like, I wish for money, I'd be like, screw you, you've got my hand. Give me my hand back. I'm going like 99%.
You wouldn't, it's not the wish, whatever they wish for. You're just like...
The spite, I get it. I get the spite energy of it.
It's so great to imagine that ape appearing in the fireplace just being like, give me my hand back! Come find me!
The knocking on the door is just the monkey going...
With his one good hand.
I'm going to say, like, maybe like 90%. I don't think it's an asshole paw.
Right.
I think it's fair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fair and balanced.
Is it?
Yes.
A dead boy for 200 pounds.
It's perfectly equal, I choose to proclaim. It's like alchemy, right?
Yeah.
You've heard
as above, so below. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've heard it here and now. A human life is worth 200 pounds.
In 1902. So that's... A
couple of hundred... 1,000 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, it's depressing, but that probably is pretty close
that's
to what like the military or the government would put as a dollar figure.
I think it's like 13,000 or something.
What, really?
For a human body?
I'm sure it's up and down depending.
I looked
on
it up recently.
For a human body.
In regards to what? Yeah,
organs, I'm talking about teeth, I'm talking about yeah. a life.
Oh, like, I see. Yeah.
Like okay, what okay. the like the government or the military or someone would pay out as compensation for
no, that's
a wrongful
fair.
Death
not the
or
sum
something.
Of its parts.
Not how the much sum the of organs parts. Are going for on the black market, which yeah. is what I was
because Jackson's got he's got numbers.
I got the deets on that. I see.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you're all saying a lot of yourself in this lucky pool.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'd be a real soft touch. I'd be like, all right, you have 200 pounds, don't worry about it. I wish I was a badass like you guys.
Yeah.
Evan's just like, because he sees things with his robotic mind, he's like, well,
that's
you want 200
even.
Pounds, it's going to cost your son. I'm yeah. sorry, that's just the rules.
You got to take out some percent because I can't actually grant wishes.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's I could kill people.
That's the 90%. And the 10% which you've taken away.
You'll struggle missing a hand.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Oh, that's good. I wasn't sure if that was worthwhile doing that part of the show, but
no, it
probably
worked
one
out.
Of the funnest ways we've done it.
Yeah.
That's something about you sans pants boys. You just go with it.
Yeah. You're get on board.
So now it's time to thank some Patreons so you can support this show as well as other shows in this little podcast network that do go on. Podcast network like Do Go On, believe it or not, that is where the name came from. Also, Book Cheat, the one that we were aping today, so to speak.
Yes.
And you can support all those shows, but if you do that, you get to give me your favorite ape or some sort of a favorite primate.
You just say, but if you do that, you get to.
But if you do that, if you do support it, one yeah. of the downsides, sort of a
yeah,
monkey
paw
scenario.
Situation.
Sure, you can support the thing out of the goodness of your heart, but unfortunately for you, dun dun dun. I will read out your name and one of your and some sort of either a primate fact or your favorite primate or whatever you want to give me in a couple of sentences. So here are four supporters now. Danny McMeans, for starters, he says, oh, and I also have asked people, I said, if they want to convince Evan that there are better primates
oh, yeah.
than Andy, the boy from Toy Story. And Danny McMeans writes, Evan should like the bonobo. They are the closest to humans. Oh, that's interesting.
There you go.
There we go.
The closest to humans, and they love to fur.
He probably just thinks that because he's heard it on this show. And
it's a, yeah, it's a
recursive.
It's a recursive.
Yeah. They do love fucking.
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh, pretty
are
good.
The closest to us.
Yeah, much like humans. Also, primate fun fact, he says, the gorilla has the smallest penis by size of all the great apes.
Yeah.
The average size.
Smallest by size?
What? I guess by weight might be different.
Well,
no.
You know, by emotional intelligence. Or,
monetary value.
Are they saying, like, proportionally? Heft. I guess is kind of what they're
saying. I think it's 2 inches.
Because he's yeah, I guess he's talking about length, not girth.
Yeah.
They might be real fat.
Oh, chodes.
Chodes. No. Gorilla chodes.
Stop.
Wait, that's what?
That's it?
That's what got you?
I don't want to think about that.
You're happy with the mangled boy.
Yeah. No, I was not. I was spooked solid, basically.
So the gorilla, smallest penis by size of all the great apes, the average size is 1.25 inches or 3 centimeters erect.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's nothing. Everyone's feeling a little bit more confident learning that.
The average.
Yeah, that's rough for gorillas. But, I mean, they're getting by. They're making more, so.
Yeah, it works. Gets the job done.
Yeah.
Another, they just get it done. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think the lady gorilla's massive. There's no size queens in the gorilla world, you know? Or if there was, it'd be like 3 inches. Wow.
Yeah, it's a relative.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the phrase size queen before,
that's
but I think I figured out what it means.
What a, just on context.
Bold idea. Yeah, context did a lot of the work there. If you came to me and said, Matt, do you know what a size queen is earlier? I would have said.
No idea, but now here in the thick of it,
yeah,
it's pretty clear.
So to speak. Thank you very much for the. For kicking that off, Danny. Matt Lass says, I think the Japanese macaque, this is his favorite, these bad boys and girls have learned to relax all day and chill out in hot tubs. They have mastered the art of not giving a fuck.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
You know these
hell
guys?
Yeah.
They sort of, and they come up a bit, and I do say it, if you see photos, it definitely looks that way, but they are kind of assholes as well.
Yeah.
Because there are, if depending on your bloodline, some will be in the spas and others will not be allowed in the spas.
Oh,
there's macaques that hierarchy. Are halfway between, like, basically his door.
It's weird to evolve classism door. Before tool use.
Yeah.
I'm sure they use tools.
Yeah, they might. I also remember reading somewhere that those pools are full of the piss and shit of the macaques because they don't get out to use the toilet.
Okay.
So it looks nice in there, but you wouldn't want to hop in.
But one good thing is when that happens, it's dyed blue.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So you can see, yeah.
And the blue dye is tarantulas. That almost makes sense what I'm doing there. Thank you very much, Matt, for that suggestion. Yeah, the Japanese macaque, fantastic.
They roll.
Dean Cooley writes, my favorite primates are the Barrel of Monkeys from the Toy Story movies.
Yes!
And Jack the Monkey from Pirates of the Caribbean because he is under an undead curse. Oh, you might enjoy today's episode, Dean. You'll love a curse.
Yeah, you should listen to it.
I haven't seen any of the Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah,
that was good.
That's a good tip, Evan. Good tip, just like a gorilla has. Yeah. That's nothing more.
Just a small tip. But
yeah.
Yeah, and the Barrel of Monkeys, well, if you like the Barrel
We've
of Monkeys.
We've done at least two episodes about the Barrel episodes. Of Monkeys.
There might be some people going, geez, the monkey poor, that's a bit of a tenuous link. Well, we did two episodes about the Barrel of Monkeys that were briefly seen in Toy Stories. Yeah, great. Two suggestions there from Dean. Great suggestions. I should watch one of the Pirates of the Caribbean someday.
It'd be good to do. Have you done an episode on the monkey from Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, I haven't seen it. Is it good?
I love the first three. Big fan. Wow.
Yeah, I think they were good films initially.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. 1 to 3, great. 4, 5, wow. So.
We did a movie marathon of it not too long ago.
Yeah,
so we're almost primed to go.
Damn, it was sweet. So if you have any two best boys to come on.
You always come in and we make great plans and then because I don't listen back to the episode, I just put it out and then you got to remind me, okay?
We will.
But we should do that, definitely.
Yep. So with the Barrel of Monkeys, the connection to Toy Story there, has the Barrel of Monkeys swayed you?
Yeah.
What are you feeling about that?
Not well, because, I mean, Andy from Toy Story is also from Toy Story. So it doesn't
We're just trying to find the connection. That's the thing. So being from Toy Story, does that help?
Does that elevate those monkeys above, say, the Florida skunk ape?
Sure, yeah, why not?
All right.
I like the Toy Story films.
Yeah, okay. We're narrowing it down.
Absolutely.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure out the prime distillation.
There's a formula here.
Yeah.
There has to be.
Dean, thank you so much for getting us a little warmer there.
Yeah.
And finally, Tiernan Ennis from Ireland, he writes, favorite is still the orangutan. I like that. He's just giving us an update there. Still the orangutan, but mandrills are pretty cool. Mandrills are fantastic.
Love
the
mandrill. Mandrill. One of the scariest kinds of ape.
Absolutely.
There,
yeah.
Terrifying. They'll rip your face off.
He says both. They're both the biggest. You said ape, and I wasn't sure because they're right in the middle.
Yeah.
They're not at all in the middle, but you know how.
No,
in my mind, monkeys get bigger and bigger, and then
they eventually become an ape.
But he says they're both the biggest monkeys in the world and one of the most colorful because they've got those beautiful blue faces.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have red asses?
Yeah, they got red asses. Red ass.
I should just keep reading. He says when they get excited, the colors on their bodies will flush even brighter. Sometimes group will come together to form large social gatherings that can grow to over 200 individuals. Like a little monkey village. Do you think humans could do that, Evan?
Yes.
Great question, Tim. You reckon humans could form a village?
Yeah, do you reckon they could come together?
What are you
using?
What
using what buildings?
They could come together, you know, to hang out and flush their colours. Come on.
Yes.
I think Tiernan asked a great question. And I'm not sure that
it is a great question. The answer is yes.
Well, I'm going to need to see you working it out.
Yeah.
So biggest monkeys. Oh, that's great. Because,
I thought they were an ape because they don't have a tail.
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking as well.
But maybe it's just real short.
Yeah. Because there were issues that I recall from the original Lion King film. Because it was like a weird, Rafiki was a weird baboon mandrill mashup. And they used to think that mandrills were baboons. They were a subspecies. It's only been, I think, even in our lifetime, maybe.
Oh, that's cool.
Or our parents' lifetime, you know, in the last few generations that they've figured out that they're their own species as well.
That rolls.
So, yeah, they're an old world monkey. Yeah, amazing. I love it. That was great. Great amount of research done in there, Tiernan as well. Thank you so much. And I reckon you've actually stumped Evan, even though he's too proud to admit it.
I think you've got
the whole idea of the village.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. Like, you know, you got the village people, but that's a fictional thing.
That's a fictional thing.
People super fictional? Group. Yeah.
He says
they're very real.
Yeah, you think he's actually a policeman?
Yeah, you think somehow a policeman, a Native American chief, a construction worker, and a fireman all came together to form a band?
No, but they're a real band. They actually exist.
They
the
play
people.
Music, maybe. Yeah.
It's not like Spinal Tap. No, even Spinal Tap actually exists.
Name one example of a human village.
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't. Look, he's speechless.
Yeah, it can't be right. done.
No, I guess I can't.
Well, what? No, we'll wait. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. This has been so much fun. I think that today's episode is a great advertisement for Halloween in Australia.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think we really nailed what Halloween is all about here today. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining in, listening along. You can, if you want to, give us a 5-star review. If you give us a 5-star review, I might even bloody read it out, no matter what you say. Keep it. I said that, and they're getting longer and longer. They're getting to the point where they're too long to read out. So maybe just try and keep it
just
to a paragraph.
Just get an e-note summary. Yeah.
And, where can people find you Sans Pants boys, the best boys?
If you go to sanspantsradio.com, you will see the big list of all the podcasts we do.
It gets bigger every day.
Every day. It's great every day. We have a problem.
It kind of feels like that.
I'm sure there'll be a podcast there to suit your needs. There's at least 15 going weekly. So go to the website, see which logo you like the most and listen to that.
Adam, I was thinking based on the logo. That's a good
that's
idea.
Powerful.
Adam runs a D&D podcast. If you're into listening to people play D&D.
D&D is for nerds.
It's a very popular show. But it's not... Non-nerds can listen as well?
Yes.
Non-nerds can listen, yes.
Absolutely.
Last week we talked about a sci-fi cartoon called Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys.
Mm. Yeah.
And in it we talked about, I mentioned once to a friend that I'm a bit of a nerd. I can't remember what came up and she was like, no, you are not. You are not a nerd. And then someone emailed or messaged or something during the week and said, hey, Matt, you can be a nerd if you want to be. Like, you know a lot about football. So you're a football nerd.
That's
you know
not
a
mutually
lot about...
exclusive.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm sorry, I can't remember who wrote that, but I did appreciate that. You made me feel better. Thank you for accepting me into your community. So people can find your podcast there. People can watch Gamey Game at gameygame.com. I fucked that up by saying it right.
Or just go to YouTube and type in Gamey Gamey Game. Yeah, and this week's episode is our Halloween special. So get in the spirit of Halloween
and
watch it.
Past guests of this show, all of them, I think. Naomi Higgins.
She's not on this week, but this week is Ben Russell, Beck Petratus, and Jess Perkins.
Yes, so Beck Petratus is the one who said, I'm not a nerd.
Oh, right, well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Go see her definitely be a nerd on Gamey.
Yeah, like, I would agree that she's a bigger nerd than me. But I just wanted to let me have, like, some of my personality be a nerd. I think what has happened is being a nerd has become cool. So now that people, like, idiots like me who didn't understand any of that in the olden days, you know, decades ago when I was a boy, they don't want me just
people
jumping
starting
in
to gatekeep
cool.
what being a nerd can mean.
It's all just gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were cool before nerds became cool.
Yeah,
That's what it was.
Yeah, what's happening? They're taking my thing. Me, famously cool. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. As we always do at the end of the episode, we sign off with a primate-related sign-off that our guests do. Thanks so much for joining us, Evan. Adam and Jackson, as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
apes
to meet
you.
Yeah!
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.